You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Fight Radio. Helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design with an edge.
Tuesday night, The Bell, Jax Media, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, can only mean one thing. Jason London, Carl the Madman Mortensen, Full Guard Fight Radio, MMAMadhouse.com, MMAMadhouse Radio. Carl, I know you're over there. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of stuff going on today. How are you, my man?
I'm great, man. How's it going with you?
Living the dream, Carl. I'm living the dream, brother. pretty different show tonight, man. We're gonna just bang it out real quick with Tom Galicchio. He's such a big star in the MFC. He's main event in MFC 40. Such a big star. He's the only one on the show tonight, man. I know we're kind of running with one guest tonight, and we're just going to do it that way because Tom's such a big star and MFC is such a great organization. But before we get Tom in, I know you had a big show last weekend, Battle for the Border 3. I know you and I talked a little bit off air about that, but I want to tell everybody how do you have a good time. You want to talk about it a little bit, or you want to save it for next week?
Oh, yeah, man. Battle for the Border 3 in Cranbrook, British Columbia. Had an absolute blast. It was a really good show. Only lost one amateur fight, so we had 9 fights, 4 amateur and 5 pro. Alfonso Gonzalez delivered, the TKO in 52 seconds. I just sent you the video to check out.
Yeah, man.
It was a good fight. Fight of the night, I'd say, was the amateur 170 championship, Ryan Rahovich and Donovan Hack. They were both 4-0 going into the fight, and, you know, they both went for it. The video, you can find that video as well up on MMAMadhouse.com. I've got just about all of them up there now. I'm still uploading one, but I've got just about all of them there now. You can check them all out there.
Yeah, I know we talked last week about you helping out put this event together, and kind of booking, matchmaking, doing a little stuff. Was it fun to sit back and see the fruits of your labor, or were you kind of nervous and like that little schoolboy waiting for his girlfriend to come down the steps to take her to prom?
Yeah, sort of a little bit. I only get to ass in seat cover a handful of events a year, so it's like for that for me for every event I actually get to go to. I get really excited for like days and days and days leading up to it, and I get there and I just had an absolute blast. I had a good time. Had lunch with Cody McKenzie 2 days in a row. That was a real treat. I talked with Cody for probably about 3 hours. Got to see.
I'm sure that was interesting.
That was super interesting, super cool. I've known Cody McKenzie for a long time, way before his UFC days. I think I've seen him fight 5 or 6 times live before he made it into the house. A longtime fan of Cody. He was fighting our boy Mark Dobie, and went about 2.5 minutes. Cody took him down, and they wrestled around for a bit. Mark managed to fend off the guillotine, but eventually Cody got the rear naked choke on him and wrapped it up. It was a pretty good scrap, though.
I definitely want to talk more about that for sure. I know you had a good time. I think the real question we all want to know, Carl, is how did the KO Cruiser make it back and forth to the event?
Beautifully, man. You know that thing likes its gas, I gotta say. But it was good. It's like driving a cereal box down the road. There's not a lot of aerodynamics involved with that thing, but it's all good. It cost me a few more dollars in gas than I was expecting, but not a whole lot more, though, really. I knew it was going to be expensive. Traveling through the mountains, in a square box.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good old truck. Not too aerodynamic at all, but, you stick your foot into that carburetor of that 350 and... It's not lacking power at all. So you can watch the gas gauge move, but it's all good. It was great. Lived in it for a couple of days.
It's safe to say you're not going to make a trip down here to Southwest Florida with the KO Cruiser. Is that pretty much safe to say?
I better win some sort of lottery ticket in order to do that.
Very cool.
When I do come to Florida, I'm flying. And I will
you're flying
come to Florida.
Fair enough.
Yes. It will happen.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that, brother. We're going to talk a little bit more next week about Battle for the Border 3. I know it's going to be a little outdated. I know some stuff is going to be happening, in between that time. But I want to hear some more about it. I know we got to go to Tom. And I'm going to apologize to Tom right now if he's listening before the show or before his interview here. And I'm terrible with names. So I believe it's Galizio. I'm going to ask him And if I've said anything correctly, I apologize to Tom Galizio, excuse me, lightweight fighter for MFC. Going to fight in the main event, Carl. I'm not sure 100% if this is a title fight. I couldn't really find anything on that information, so we're going to talk to him. Maybe this is a title shot for him. I'll talk to him about
It'll
that.
Be, I believe MFC is doing their punch to vote again. So if Tom's fight wins that, they'll be mean main event.
Okay. Yeah, it's listed on one of those other sites that only ranks fighters as the main event. So, but you're absolutely right. I forgot that it's Punch the Vote, and there's some fights on there. But right now, Tom's listed as the main event, so we're going to go with that. But I'm not sure if you got a chance to watch it, Carl. I know you were off driving Captain Crunchbox through the mountains, but I'm not sure if you had a chance to see the Glory event from Saturday night. And
I did not see it.
I'm thinking specifically of the Gokhan Saki, Tyrone Spong fight. Mixed emotions. I mean, I was super jacked to see this, fighters, light heavyweights 1 and 2 in the world in kickboxing, about to square off a rematch in 5 years in the making. It doesn't last very long. We see another injury. Tyrone Spong breaks his leg just like Anderson Silva did, same exact way. Gokhan Saki, just a straight check and a kick. Breaks his leg. The thing that I want to talk about, you can find the video anywhere on YouTube, I'm sure. First of all, if you ever complain about an injury ever again in your life, you're the biggest pansy in the world, because I'm telling you right now, the way Tyrone Spong handled that injury, broken leg, tibia and fibia, my man just laid there on the canvas like he was eating sushi in bed. I mean, the man didn't even make a sound. He didn't make a peep. He true warrior. This guy's an animal. But what I really want to talk about, I really want to talk about the professionalism and how awesome Gokhan Saki was when it came to, there was no celebration, there was no, it was no pumping his chest, and, he just won the $200,000 Glory tournament, there was no pumping his chest, it was never showboat, look at me, I just won, even though he doesn't want to win that way, he's a fighter, he wants to win the fight. Nothing but class, nothing but professionalism. It just goes to show you that the top breeds. I guess what I'm trying to say is professionalism and the way to handle yourself starts at the very top. I mean, we got a chance to see Weidman and Anderson Silva, same exact situation almost. And there was a lot of Weidman fist pumping and jumping on the cage and yelling and hooting and hollering. And with Saki, it was absolutely very all class, all professionalism, and I really got to hand it to Rosaki a glory, the way they handled that situation and how professional he was and how professional that situation went down. It was an incredible spectacle, something that you didn't want to see, a tragedy in that one. Not a tragedy, because tragedies were 1 year ago today in Boston. That's a tragedy. An unfortunate turn of events and a fight happened, and it was handled with such class. And I got to say, Glory has absolutely, I mean, as much as I love Glory in the past, they have solidified their place in my heart, because it was a joy to watch that. So that was my little rant.
Yeah. I did actually notice that, by what you're talking about. I did notice that only from watching a highlight of the fight. I didn't get to see the whole fight. I did catch the highlight of the leg break and notice the professionalism, and I thought of that right away too. Actually, it's kind of funny. I should jump into queue here though and get our guest in queue.
Sure, man. Absolutely. I'll talk a little bit more, because I was so impressed by the way Saki handled himself and how his management handled himself and how, everybody in the ring, and it was strictly about how Tyrone Spong and making sure he was okay and being there for him and to support. And Saki, Saki was telling him, he kissed him on the forehead. Now, you couldn't hear what they were saying, but you had to think that Saki was talking about just was telling him, words of encouragement. I mean, it's just such class. It was good to see in the combat sports game where everybody's me, and I'm the best, and, you're a four-letter expletive if you don't watch my product. And to see that was so refreshing, and it rejuvenated my hope in Mankind in the fight game. And I really want to give big shout-out to Gokhan Saki and to Glory for just how awesome that was. But I know we got just a couple minutes, and I know we're not a wrestling show, but this time last week, news hit. We were talking, WrestleMania last week, and news hit just about this time last week that the Ultimate Warrior had passed away. And I just want to give another shout out to the WWE for the way they handled his passing. And it was very eerie to watch him on Monday night talk about every man's heart stops beating and things like that. So it was very professional to see that, and to see the way they handled that. But I think Carl's telling me that we have Tom in queue, so we're going to go ahead to him. Tom Galicia, again, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, fights at MFC 40, and this right now is listed as the main event. We're going to talk to Tom a little bit about the fight. We're going to talk to him about just who he is, and you know how we do here. But without further ado, Tom Galicia, Tom the Tank Galicia, are you with me tonight, Tom?
Yes, I am. You said it close enough. It's Galicia.
Galicia. Okay, well,
you were close.
I'm terrible. Like, even if you told me 1,000 times, I'm very terrible with it, and I apologize. But I will try to make sure I get it correct.
I believe Galicia is the Italian way to say it, though. So you're right on some level.
All right, fair enough. I appreciate that. You're from Toms River, New Jersey, I see.
New Jersey.
Oh, all right. I was going to see if you were friends with Chris Drury out there. He's a Toms River guy. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and he was a saver for a while, and he's from Toms River. So I appreciate you joining me tonight, Tom. Are you headlining MFC 40, or is this the punch the vote where the fans are going to get a chance to vote for the main event, or have they voted you in, or, tell me how...
I'm not headlining it, but there is the punch to vote. There's a chance I can be headlining it.
Okay. Well, then get your butts
out
there.
We'll see. It all depends on you, the fans, to help me out.
Absolutely. You fight at MFC 40. Your record's very impressive, 18-8. 18 wins, 0 by knockout. So, I mean, it might be safe to say that we're going to see a very technically sound fight. And, I was looking, kind of doing a little research about you before I got a chance to talk to you. And you're not afraid to go to the distance either, man. A bunch of your fights have gone all three rounds. And, it doesn't seem like stamina is an issue for you.
No, I work really hard, and, you know, as for the knockout thing, I've dropped people plenty of times, but when they're on the ground, the submissions are wide open.
Sure, no, absolutely, you know, and it's funny, we kind of going, I'm going to kind of lead down this route, but it's funny that Carl and I were just talking off the air that he went to a fight this weekend, and, you know, he was hoping that a fight was going to end a different way, but it ended up in a submission, and I was like, I guess it's that age-old adage. Do you want to go in and win a fight, or do you want to go in and impress, you know, the fans and things like that? So, to be honest with you, with me, I would rather see it go to the ground and some jiu-jitsu and things like that for submission. So, but, you know, I'm not the everyday average fan, I guess. So,
yeah. Most of the fans here in the U.S. like to see the knockouts, but
absolutely.
You know, you can put on a if I feel like if it's an aggressive jiu-jitsu style. There's nothing wrong with it. We're just trying to avoid the layer and briars. You know, you want
sure.
to see a guy who goes sort of finish no matter what. And, you know, whether it's a first round submission, somebody hasn't saw, or a beautiful knockout, you know, give the fans what they want. They don't want to sit around for a boring decision or a lay and pray.
Sure. And I got to be honest with you, the MFC, you're in a perfect promotion to showcase your fighting skills. And I know those fans up there are ravaged, diehard fans that don't want to sit around and watch lay and praise and things like that. We kind of had a conversation last week about, you know, Jake Shields being released, and MFC is not a place for him. I think your style of fighting, you know, going for submission after submission, I think it's very exciting for the fans. And I mean, you got to be kind of happy to land in the MFC for that kind of style of fight. You're going to be appreciated no matter where you fight and how you fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be part of the MFC, and it's a very prestigious organization. You know, it's easily one of the top five, and nothing but good things have came since I've been here. They've taken good care of me.
That's kind of what I was going to ask. I know we've had Mark Pavlich on here, you know, umpteen times, and I always tell him every time he's on, I'm like, Mark, it's, you know, it's 11:30 at night down here in Florida, and you got me wanting to run through the neighborhood screaming and fighting everybody I see. The guy fires me up every time I talk to him. And is that how he is all the time? I mean, does he just go? Does he, you know?
He is quite the individual. He's definitely, you know, to put it this way, there's only one Mark Pavlovich.
Absolutely. So we're only a couple of weeks out of your fight here. What's, you know, I'm sure you're going through camp. Are you kind of tying things up? Are you kind of coming to the end of your camp? Or are you still implementing game plan where you're learning new and working on different things?
You know what? We're just still going. We're still going hard. That's all I can say. We're just doing it the Team Quest way. And it's training hard. It's a lot of sparring. You and I are still working every aspect and just improving our skills. We already know what the game plan is, so it's in set. And, you know, we're still grinding it hard, and we're not wrapping anything up till the week of.
Oh, so the week of. So now let me ask you this, Tom. I don't want you to give anything away. I don't want you to say anything about your game plan. But before you go into a fight, do you have a mindset? Do you do enough research on a guy to know that, listen, this fight is probably going to go this way? I mean, he's this kind of fighter. I mean, obviously things can happen, and you said yourself you drop plenty of people, but submissions are just there and you take them. I'm sure that's not, you know, going into your into every fight, okay, I'm going to put this guy in a key lock or anything like that to get the fight, the W here. But so going into to training camp, is there always kind of a path you want to take and kind of follow it that way, or is it just like, you know, let's put in, I know I'm a mixed martial artist, let's put in all kinds of stuff, work on a bunch of stuff, and then kind of hone it down towards the end? Or do you start knowing what you're going to do for this fight?
You know what? I've been in the game a long time. I'm going on April 22nd will be my eighth year fighting as a pro. You know, I've been doing it since I'm 19. Right now, all I can do is, luckily, Team Quest staffs their gym with top-notch coaches, you know, in every aspect, and I just try to learn from each of them and improve every style. And, that's pretty much it. Try to improve every style. You know, I'd love to walk away with a knockout one of these days.
Sure, absolutely. You have been, I mean, you have been in, especially in the fight game. 8 years is a long time to be, you know, putting your body through weight cuts and punches to the face and kicks and choke outs. tell me how you got started in MMA and in mixed martial arts, and how did you fall in love with the sport?
Well, you know, when I was, let's, we could start when I was younger. When I was younger, I used to buy, like VHSs. VHSs always used to advertise for the UFC. I'm sure you remember that. Remember that? You'd buy
you
a VHS and they'd have the UFC on it.
Absolutely.
I was like, wow, that looks cool. I want to do that when I get older. I'll be rich. You know, I wrestled back then.
Okay.
And then, eventually watched a couple of them handfuls. I didn't really know any of the rules. And I, after my high school wrestling career was done, I wrestled from about fourth grade to the end of high school. I couldn't really afford the colleges I had scholarships to, but I got a full ride scholarship to my high school. I didn't have to pay a penny.
Okay.
Which was our town's high school. And, so after high school, I used to go to an off-season club. It was called Elite Wrestling, run by Steve Rivera. And Frankie Edgar used to come in and always help out when he was in college. And then after I graduated high school, it was around the time he graduated college. I said, where's Frankie fighting? I wanna pick it up. In 6 months, I found out. I was training with them in the team, Rhino Fight Team. 6 months later, I had my first pro fight at Sport Fighting. The guy who ran Grappler's Quest, Brian Simmons, ran that event.
Huh. That's a pretty quick turnaround. I mean, 6 months into your career, you're already fighting pro. I mean, I talked to some people that start the game now, and it's like, you know, 2 years from now, I'm going to go pro, and I'm, you know, I mean, that, you know, to each their own. But 6 months, man, holy smokes, you must have been
different animal back then. You know,
absolutely.
Back in 06, they didn't have amateur.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
different animal,
true.
But it's not like I was definitely outclassed. I was definitely outmatched in my first fight. But luckily, I was tough, and I hung in there. I fought Mark Stevens, who's a stud. And I wasn't ready for that challenge at the time, but I ended up fighting it and winning. But it was very hard-nosed, and on paper, he was definitely the more experienced guy.
So your first fight ever, 6 months into your career, you got the W, huh?
Yeah.
That's incredible, man. I got to be like, you know, in the middle, like when you're standing, I mean, 8 years ago, I mean, we'll talk about the butterflies are probably different now, but when you're standing across that cage in your first fight 8 years ago thinking, what in the hell am I doing here? Was it something like...
I didn't know what to expect. The butterflies are more intense now that I know what it is. First fight, I had no idea what was going on.
So now
I didn't
now
even know all the rules.
Well,
I got shot for kicks four times in that fight.
That's what I was saying.
I got mad at the wrestler breaking it up after I got soccer kicked. I didn't even know the rules. They broke it up, and I'm like, why'd you stop the fight? And I got mad and yelled at him. He's like, you get 5 minutes in your corner. You got kicked illegally.
You got kicked in the head.
Yeah,
you know.
I was like, oh, I must be doing good. It's covered in blood.
So the butterflies are more intense. I mean, you're fighting in a great promotion where the lights are bright and the crowds are loud and things like that. And so the butterflies, you still get butterflies. You still, it's still, you know, the nerves are still there when you step into the ring?
Occasionally, if they're not, I lose.
Okay.
If they are not, I will lose. I fight better when I'm nervous. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm overconfident when I have no butterflies and I'm... And I went on a little bit of a slump because of this. I lost the butterflies, and now I scare the shit out of myself every part of my French every day. I'm like, uh-oh, this person's good. He's going to beat me up. It makes me train a little harder, training with the fear.
You know what? That's a great way to look at it. Now, let me ask you this. Is there any – I mean, I was a bass player all my life, and, you know, there was the superstitions, game days and things like that. I've never been a fighter. I've never gotten into to a cage or a ring, and I love the sport. I love the passion of it. Is there any superstitions that you have, Tom, going into a fight the week of, the day of, the month of? I don't know what it may be. You don't change your underwear for a month, that kind of thing. Is there anything that you have to do?
No, I'm not so much superstitious in that, but
okay,
I'm superstitious in the fact that if I believe if I hit him more and get more takedowns, I generally will win the fight.
Fair enough. And I
no, I'm just messing with you.
I bet you can there's, you know, hard evidence that, that says that's true as well.
Yeah.
Now you're fighting in a ring. Is this, I mean, I know you fought at MFC 39. Is this going to be the second time you're ever fighting in a ring, or have you fought in rings in the past?
Let's say I have about 26 professional fights. Right? Yeah, 26. Yeah, 20. Is it 26?
18 and 8.
18 plus 8. 26.
26.
Right?
You got it, bro.
Yeah, all right. 13 of them have been in a ring. 13 of them have been in a cage.
So I was with him on Global.
That was ring. Reality fighting was ring. Sport fighting was ring. Ring of Combat was ring. Then switched to cage. And then there's a bunch of other local organizations cage. So I'm dead even on ring and cage. Actually, I will have four rings experience in this fight. This fight will make it 14 in a ring, 13 in a cage. So I'll be the Lord of the Rings at the end of this fight.
You need to change your name from the Tank to Lord of the Rings. If you would do that, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be great. So you're going into, I mean, you only got about 2 weeks or so, maybe 3 weeks outside of camp. I know I asked you about your game plan a little bit. How is the weight cut coming? Are you right on pace for that?
Yeah, I'm on pace. And actually, last week I just picked up a great sponsor. It's called Primal Cravings. And what they do is they make my food and buy chefs and send it to me. And portion control it, and everything's good. I broke 170 last week. You know, realistically, I like to get within 6 pounds of the cut. And so if I broke 70, in theory, all I got to lose is 7-8 more pounds to have a healthy cut.
You know, weight cut is just a phenomenon to me, and everybody that listens to the show knows that I just can't wrap my head around it. I'm a big guy. I like beer and chicken wings. So, you know, my weight cut is eating, you know, 10 wings instead of a dozen tonight. So that's my weight cut. But when you're in a cut and you say you're at 170 now, 3 weeks out, what do you walk around at usually, Tom, when you're not fighting, you know, you're not training for a fight?
Like 185. I can get as big as 185, and everybody goes, "You're fat." And then I feel fat. But anywhere from 78 to 85 is my range.
And 30 pounds is and you're comfortable, and I know you've been doing this a long time, you're professional, and you know what you're doing, but 30 pounds to me, to the average Joe, seems like just an incredible amount of weight to lose. You know, I know my wife, when we got married, she was like, "I got to lose 10 pounds, and it seemed, we got, you know, that was 9 months out, and she was, you know, struggling. Don't tell her I said that, Tom, because, listen, I'll deny it at the end, but. Is that something that you, this is going to be a stupid question. Is it something you enjoy doing? I mean, you fight at 155. Is that a good weight for you? Is that where you want to stay for the rest of your career?
This will be my second fight at 55. I fought my whole career at 70, and I was very small for it. A lot of 7 years walk around over 200.
Okay.
So this is like my rebirth. Last fight was like my rebirth, you know, my reset button. Now I'm undefeated at 155.
And you felt comfortable with that weight? It was something that you really felt comfortable doing?
Yeah, I felt good, strong. And you want to know something pretty funny? I actually look forward to the day that I have to do the vicious cut. I don't know why I get excited about it. And then when I'm doing it, I hate it. And it's miserable. But the night before, I'm all excited that I got to make that cut. And I have no idea why. I have no idea why I get... when I do cardio, I dread it for 2 days. I'm like, in 2 days I have an intense fight training cardio session, and it ruins my 2 days.
That's awesome. So you're like a sadomasochist in kind of a way. You love it, and but then when you get into it, you're like, what am I doing? What the hell am I doing?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes at camp, it's like when I'm really hard at training into camp, sometimes I stop for a minute and go, why the hell am I doing this?
Tom, you got a great attitude, my friend. I love it. I think it's awesome. I talk to some people and they're like, you know, so business, and it seems like you're a pretty lighthearted guy, and it seems like you really enjoy what you're doing. And is that kind of the way you fight too? It's like, let's go in there, let's fight, man. Let's smile, have a good time, laugh, and
Let's have a good time. You punch me, I'll punch you. I mean, I'm gonna try not to get hit because the judges, but I do have fun with it. Yeah. You know, It's a good fight. I mean, I get the butterflies, and nobody likes them, but they're a necessary evil for me.
Sure.
Nobody likes that feeling of discomfort like that. But once I'm in there and the bell's on, I really, truly do enjoy it. And I don't truly enjoy the weight cut, so it's weird. I look forward to the weight cut, and then I am all nervous for the fight, and I enjoy that. And the weight cut, I hate. But I look forward to it. I don't know. It's so weird. I guess I'm wired differently. Well, I know I'm wired differently.
You are wired differently. Every MMA fighter, every boxer, everybody is wired differently. This is, again, a stupid question, but I'm going to ask. Is it always, like, when you're in a fight with somebody who takes the fight like you do, lighthearted, let's have a good time. Let's go in there. Let's fight. I know for a fact, as a fan, you can see that the fight is really good, and everybody in there, even the referees, having a good time and stuff, and it makes the fight seem like it's not, it's not a fight. It's like a ballet almost. Please don't hold that against me. But is that kind of how you feel in the middle of a fight? You can kind of sense that this guy, we're grooving. We got something special going on here. Is it, is it just all business when you get in the ring or cage? I guess.
You know what? It's hard to say because I never know what the other guys think. And I'm just worrying about me. I don't know if the other guy's having fun. I know what a fight's a good fight, though. Just definitely do that. But I don't know what the other guy's thinking, or I don't let loose because the other guy's let loose. I'm still implementing my game at all times. But, I want to win. Winning's the funnest. But.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. Are you one of those fighters, Tom, that, you say the butterflies and things like that? Is it as soon as the ref says fight that, those are all gone? Or does it take you, a few minutes to get in your groove? Or, do you got to get punched in the face with one good time? Or how do you break those butterflies off and say, okay, I'm in a fight now. Let's get moving.
Sometimes a couple of shots say, all right, this is all you got. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's dance.
Fair enough. All right, Tom. So let me before I let you go. I know we got a few minutes here. Before I let you go, do you have a significant other that's been supportive? I'm a family guy myself, wife and two kids, and I always try to talk to all the fighters about supports and people who've been there for. I'm not talking managers and sponsors and things like that. Just somebody, mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever it may be, husband, wife, whatever. Do you have somebody that's been supportive for you and throughout the whole campaign?
Honestly, I'm living out here in California alone. It's just me. I have my dog. My mom and dad are very supportive of me, of what I do. I also have a roommate who's a fighter. Her name's Michelle Old. She's ranked number two in her weight class. She's big things are coming for her. Very talented girl. We kind of have a support system on each other, help out. But we're not dating or anything. It's not like that. It's just I rent a room from her. And
it's all good.
But, yeah, I guess I've made a lot of sacrifices and having wives and kids and being close to your family and relatives, and it's just some of the stuff I've just given up to be out here and to be at the best gym in the world, Team Quest. Some people are fortunate to have a system. I'm doing this on my own, and it's my own drive.
Huh. You know what, Tom, it's really
interesting. But the team is like a family. Sorry to cut you off. The team is like a family because a lot of other people are in the same situation I am.
That's kind of exactly where I was going to go with that. I was wondering I talk to a lot of people that have, my wife or my husband and my boyfriend, whatever it may be, really supportive of me, and they're fighters too, and that's very interesting to hear that you're out there. I mean, you're from the other side of the country, really, from where you're living now, and you you're out there kind of riding solo. Does it ever get like I'm going to say lonely? But I mean, I know you just said that your team is like your family, but does it ever get lonely and you're sitting there and you're like, man, I have given up a lot? Is that something that you ever think about?
It really does. Sometimes it does. I mean, I concentrate so much time on training and everything in my life. I sometimes it makes it hard for me to even go out and go date. I'm just so busy, so focused on my fights and not going out to any restaurants or bars or anywhere. Just go train, come back, rest, train, recoup, go back, train. Get your night walk in or get your run in or, you know, cut the weight. It makes it a little tough. And I do get lonely, but you know what? My career has really turned the corner, and
sure.
You know, maybe one day I won't have to be lonely. But for now, I take it. I take it as it comes, and I try to stay focused on the goal.
You know what? I I'm not trying to turn this into like a somber, you know, poor me kind of thing. I don't want you to go stand at the edge of the cliff and be like you're contemplating life, but.
I got too many people who have no idea, too many jokes to crack, I guess, to out myself.
Fair enough. But you know what? I guess that's part of the game that I've always taken for granted. And when you said that, it never occurred to me that there are fighters like yourself out there. I always think, oh, they leave their gym or they leave the. The sauna or whatever, and they go home, and you know there's somebody waiting for them. You know, you have a roommate that's in the same boat, kind of. But I mean, that never crossed my mind. And shame on me that you've sacrificed, you know, a lot of your career here or a lot of your life here for my entertainment. And I really want to slap myself in the face because I've never even thought about that ever. And it's just amazing to me that you love something so much that you're willing to kind of put the rest of you on hold to go do something that you love. So, I mean, I guess really every day you wake up and really go to work and do something that you love.
Oh, yes, there's been a lot of, like, you know, it's funny, nobody's ever asked me that question either. Everybody asks all the same stupid questions, but I'm really enjoying this interview. It's actually a little therapeutic for me. and nobody's ever really tapped into it. Everybody wants to ask all the same questions over and over again, but there's so much more behind these closed doors that these people don't see. You know, they see and they're like, you probably go out and get all the chicks and this and that and, you know, everything. So I'm like, no, I go out and I try to, if I meet somebody, I don't want to tell them I'm a fighter. I'd like them to like me for me, too,
sure.
In the same instance. And
sure.
You don't want to be somebody who likes you for what you've done, because then they don't really get a truly chance to know you either.
Absolutely. So what kind of stuff do you enjoy doing that, you know, when you get a chance to unwind and you're not weight cutting and you're not training and getting your run or walk in, what do you like to do?
Well, you know what's funny? My whole time, I've been in California about 2.5 years. And the other day, I did just to, like, hit me. I'm like, I've never really hung out in San Diego. I've never been to L.A., really. Besides just, I've only been to Vegas once for pleasure. And other times, I just go for a day for Ultimate Fighter tryouts. Everything is just, you know, everything is so business-oriented. I get so caught up in, you know, whether it's work or training, and, you know, I'm just so used to it. And I sometimes forget there's a town outside of Temecula and stuff. But as for fun, I love stand-up comedies. I love to go to shows. I've done a few open mic nights myself. I like to get together with my friends and bullshit. And also, I like to play cards, a little bit of Texas Hold'em. Not no major stakes, but play some cards and I looked at that as entertainment. If I lose $40, I killed a few hours.
You know what? You're one of the guys that I'd be able to sit down and have a beer with and play cards with. That's one of my favorite things to do in the world is play cards. I also like to go to comedy clubs. I think it's a good time. I think anytime you can laugh, I think anytime you can keep it lighthearted, you know, you're not taking yourself too seriously and kind of life's not going to pass you by when you can do some stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. We could definitely sit down and have a nice beer and play some cards and do the comedy things for sure. And it's what I do enjoy all that. And I never take anything seriously. With teammates, sometimes we just go around making fun of each other. And if you get somebody good, you're like, you got me. That was good. There's no racism or anybody takes it to offense. I mean, sure, we say jokes along those lines, but it's like everything's lighthearted and nothing's ever
absolutely. It's so funny because like some of the people in my real life, my work life, and things like that, they hear me or they see me on Facebook talking to my friends that I grew up with. And, like, if you heard us in a conversation, you would think, man, these guys hate each other. But they're my best friends, and I've run to the end of the earth for them. You know what I mean? So it's like, Jesus, friends like this, who needs enemies kind of thing, you know? So I know exactly what you're saying and things like that. So, you know, it's really interesting. You said you tried open mic night. What was that like, standing up in front of a crowd? And, like, you know, when you're in a cage, if you try a move and, you know, whatever, you get caught. But, you know, okay, you know, pat on the back for him. But when you're standing up in front of those lights and everybody's looking at you and, like, you're bombing, are you just like, damn it, what in the hell am I going to do?
I have bombed once. I've done three. I've bombed once. One of the reasons is the guy wouldn't let me bring my piece of paper on stage. He had a real ego and just completely turned me off before and cut me off way too early. I flipped out on him, especially because I bought it bad. But the other two times, I'm not allowed at that establishment to admit anymore. But the other two times I did about California, and I first night I was good. The second night I killed it. I, like, had everybody go in. They were like, you're good at fighting, but you could do that.
Is that something that you're thinking about doing? Is that maybe another when you get out of the fight game? Is that something you might think about doing?
I always tell myself I'm going to go and do it and do it some more. I just haven't. It's been like at least a year since I've done it. I'd like to get back into it and maybe after this fight I'll find that passion again, because I'm a stand-up comedy junkie too. I love stand-up comedy.
Yeah, you know, it's good stuff, man. I actually one of my favorite comedians just passed away. John Panette just passed away, and I was bummed out about it because he's funny. He made me laugh every time I watched him, but he was good. I just want to know. I've never been in front of a crowd like that. Is it when you're standing up there? It's going to be really intimidating. All eyes on you, and they're only there to laugh. And if you're not making them laugh, you're not doing your job. Is that like? That's pretty intimidating. It's got to be. Like, I'm nervous for you, and I'm not even out there standing. I haven't done it in a year.
I look at it as you get a little bit of the butterfly. Nowhere near as fighting, but if you bomb, it's not a loss on your record. That's how I look at it.
You never have to show your face.
I just don't want a loss on my record. Like, if I did stand up comedy and bombed, and it like went on my professional fighting record, then I'd be a lot more nervous of the crowd. But if they hate me, who cares? If I bomb, it's kind of funny.
I guess you can go back and laugh with your buddies, and they can rib you a little bit. Like, man, great joke last night, right?
Oh yeah, they have.
I'm sure.
Man, and it's funny, the night I bombed too, it was when all my friends came out.
Tom, I gotta let you go. I'm getting the light in the background. You're like in stand up comedy. I got the light coming on here. I mean,
my light's up. My 15 minutes are up.
Listen, before I let you go, I want you to thank everybody who's been there for you, your sponsors. I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and Facebook. So I'm gonna look you up here, and I'm gonna request you here because you got a fan of me, man. You're a good dude, and I like the fact that you keep it lighthearted, and I like the fact you don't take yourself too seriously. So you got a fan of me forever, brother. I'm gonna look you up, but let everybody know where they can find you: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got. The floor is yours, my
All
man.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. First, I want to thank my sponsors, Dedicated, East Street Bagel, and Primal Cravings. My food sponsor I was talking about earlier, myprimalcravings.com. As far as finding me, it's you just got to search Tom Galicchio. Now, do the same with Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm going to spell it out for you real quick. Tom is T-O-M and Galicchio, G-A-L-L-I-C-C-H-I-O. Again, that's G-A-L-L-I-C-C-H-I-O. And you type that in Instagram, Twitter, whatever other social thing is out there, the Facebook, yeah, that's still there. I mean, hell, you could even find me on MySpace, although I've been checking that in years.
Now, wait, on MySpace, are you, you're not the Tom on MySpace, right?
No. You know, when it was popular, people used to ask me, they'd be like, are you Tom from MySpace? I'm like, no. I can be your
friend
if you want.
Do you have a Pinterest? Do you have Pinterest at all?
No, I'm not that Pinterest thing.
Here's the thing. I always ask all the fighters, do you have Pinterest? I've only had one person ever say yes, and it was a girl. So I didn't know if you did. I
think it was a chick, though. I have an ex who had it. I wasn't a big fan. She was interesting, but she thought so.
Listen, my man, May 9th, I'm going to be watching. Like I said, you got a fan for life. Want to get you back on here after the fight and talk about it a little bit, and bull crap some more about how the fight went and how how the stand-up comedy's going and things like that, man. I'm going to follow you for the rest of your career, my brother, and I wish you nothing but the best. And, it seems like you got a bright future ahead of you. So I wish you good luck on May 9th, and I hope to talk to you soon, Tom.
Thank you. Anytime you want me on, you got it. I'm glad to be on this show. It was a good talk.
I appreciate it, man. Good luck to you in the 9th, and I'll talk to you again, okay, bud?
All right. Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Galecchio. Man, that was fun, Carl. I had a good time with him. He, it hit me when we were talking, and I said, you got anybody that's supportive? It always seems to come out in conversation that, my wife or my husband or my boyfriend, my girlfriend, something like that, always seems to come out, and he was very reserved about it. It didn't come up, so I wanted to find out who Tom was as a person, because that's our niche, Carl. I think that's what I like to find out. I love to find out about the fighter as a fighter, but I like to find out who they are as a person. And when he said that he's kind of forging his own path individually, he's got some support from his team and whatever, but he's 3,000 miles away from his home, finger quotes. I know he probably has made home somewhere else now, but he's doing this by himself. I was like, I have never thought about that. I've never thought about how many sacrifices these fighters really make for my entertainment. And it amazes me that he's one of many, many, many that is doing this just strictly because they love the sport and they love to put on a good show for you and I.
Yeah, that was a great interview. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I'm a lifelong fan now myself, man. That was great.
Yeah, I like the fact that he keeps it lighthearted enough to get up on stage and do stand up and he's got a fan in me now, man. And you know what? It goes to show that Mark Pavlich and Scott Zero, those guys up at the MFC, the product they put out and the people they surround themselves with are just good people. I mean, could you imagine? Let's not even get into it. I mean, he said they're probably in the top five in the world. I'm gonna say the second best. I mean, not the second best. To me, they're leaps and bounds ahead of Zuffa. But that's what everybody thinks. But I love the MFC. They're probably not probably. They are one of my very favorite promotions. And again, Mark Pavlich just shows why he has a great product.
MFC is awesome. All they need to do is put a couple more shows on a year, and they're number one on the planet.
I know, man. But you know what? I've asked Mark about that before, and he just always says, I don't want to water it down. I want to make sure I'm providing the best fights and the best fighters, and I'm not going to sacrifice.
I don't want him to water it down either, but, maybe just one or two more shows a year.
So I'm not waiting months in between. It's like, But I mean, he's got me. He's got me hooked. The last fight was what, a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, and now I'm like chomping at the bit to get to May 9th here. So he's got his finger on the pulse, my man, for sure. Carl, listen, man, I know you're busy. I'm busy. I know we got a lot of stuff to do.
Before we wrap up, I just want to. I thought it was amazing that he's fought that many times in a ring. After this fight, he's going to have more fights in a ring than a cage. With a guy that's got that many fights on his record, that just blew me away when he said that. You don't hear that.
I was gonna actually ask him, is it different for you, being your second fight in the ring? And then he shut me right up by answering that question the way he did. I guess I should ask him, is it harder for you to get in a cage, really, than it is a ring? I mean, because, you hear people say, the dynamics are different and things, but I mean, yeah, it blew me away too. I was very impressed. I was very surprised by that. I guess I didn't even pay attention when I was looking at his record. When he said I fought for M1, I'm like, oh yeah, duh, But
I was surprised by that too.
But Carl, you got anything else before we wrap up tonight? I know it's kind of a weird show when like I said, man, Tom Galecchio, and I'm glad I didn't murder it too bad. you know, he is such a polarizing character, and he's we only have room for him tonight on the show. I want to thank the MFC again for always coming up with some of the great guests. Again, I love the MFC; they're my favorite promotion. And
MFC all month, man. Next week we've got Kurt Southern, and we wrap up the month with Mark Pavlich.
Oh, that is going to be a boring show. That'll be a boring show.
Nobody will listen.
Yeah. No, I can't thank those guys enough. And they're always, and they really truly are, anytime we need them, anytime we ask, we'll run a guest short or we'll have a guest cancel last second on us. And, you know, they're always willing to come on, and they take very good care of us. So I will always support the product. I will always tell everybody to go watch an MFC event before they pay their money to go watch a Zuffa event. And you know, I'm giving them a little bit of love and I'm fawning all over them, but I mean, they deserve it. They're so professional, you know, to work with Mark and to work with Scott and the guys at MSC. It's a pleasure. It's a joy. I look forward to doing shows like this because, you know, you're not going to get, you know, it's funny because he said, no one's ever really asked me that question. You know, everybody wants to hear the same old humdrum. And I catch myself doing that sometimes, asking the, well, tell me about how you got started and tell me why you like doing it. I get it. I catch myself doing it. I really try not to do those kind of things, but I fall into that trap as well. But
some of them you got to ask, though. You're pretty much forced as a journalist to ask a couple of questions. And other than that, though, you know, you take it where you take it, and you know that's why I like being your partner.
Well, it's a good time, and I appreciate that. But you know, I guess what I was saying is that every time we do an MFC event and every time we have an MFC fighter on, we're going to get a person. We're not going to get a robot spitting a company line, you know, and he's not afraid to say something, and he's not afraid to say, you know, he didn't say anything that was controversial, but, you know, I mean, who knows? Who knows what, you know, if he said I'd like to go out and shoot bald eagles, you know, well, that might be a bad example, but you know what
You might not want to say that. You might want to skip that.
And Tom DeLicchio does not go out and shoot bald eagles. I promise you, he did not say that. That was my verbiage for sure. But I guess what I'm saying is Mark Pavlich and those guys up there put on a great product, and every single person we talk to just says the same thing over and over again, how awesome they are to work for, how good of people they are, how great a product it is. You know, just the love and the support every single fighter has for their product is just incredible. So just another W, just another mark on the board for the MFC in my book, man, for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious when we get Mark back to find out how they're coming along with their Nevada Athletics State Commission. Last time we had
Absolutely.
Mark on, he broke the news on our show that they had applied for it. So curious to see how that's coming along. Progression to head to Vegas for a show. That's exciting.
I got to be honest with you, Carl. I think we should meet in Vegas if that ever comes about when the MFC makes their way to Vegas. I think we should all meet. Of course, on the MMA Madhouse credit card. I think we all should meet down there, and we should.
We can all stay in my camper.
For sure. For sure. I get the passenger seat.
Yeah. That would be a great club. I kind of like that idea. Everybody in Team Madhouse, okay, we're meeting in Vegas for MFC 41 or whatever it's going to be. Would be a blast.
I think, and to be honest with you, I think Vegas would be the perfect spot to do if we were all going to do something like that, because to be honest, for me, to fly to Calgary or to fly to Oregon or whatever, it would be very pricey, but you get a really good deal on flights and hotels when you go to Vegas. And I think
big time, yeah.
Think,
same with us up here. You know, it's cheaper to fly to Vegas than it is to fly to Calgary.
Sure, sure. I think so. That would be fun. I hope that's something that we can all think about and look into in the future. I just got really excited right there.
we would definitely have to time it around something like that. An MFC event would definitely be very cool. But
that would be awesome. I'm looking. We got to, you know, I'm not looking past next week's interview, but I mean, we got to get Mark, man. It's got to hurry up. I got to know more about Las Vegas.
Wonder what Mark would say if I hit him up for 38 press passes.
You know what he probably would say?
He probably would say, you're damn right. I'll run them to you. I'm running them. I'm on the way right now, running them myself. Come on, here I come.
I'm bringing six professional photographers and 32 journalists.
and the funny thing is he probably, he was like, I'm running through those snow right now to bring them to you, Carl. And he probably, you would see him on the side of the road hooking these things up to you. So Mark's just a good dude.
Might have to try that just for a joke.
You should. Hey, on a different note, and this is perfect transition because I want to talk about something. Just before we came on the air, and I don't know if you're farting around on Twitter at all, but there, and this is going to hurt me to say because I know him personally. I've spent some time with him and his family, and I've done some stuff, moving away from the MFC and kind of going into the Zuffa product. Did you see John Jones? There's a bunch of stuff going around about John Jones right now on Twitter. There was some anti-Semitic and, some homophobic comments that he made that came from his Twitter account as far as, being homosexual and things like that. And it came out that he either lost his phone or his phone was hacked or it was stolen. I don't remember exactly. It's been kind of a rough week. He lost his cat. He's got an African serval, which is about a $25,000
wow.
Animal.
Those are pretty wild animals, yeah.
And it got loose and was running around Albuquerque. He ended up finding that. And, like I said, he treated me and my family very well for the time that we knew him. I knew him, was pretty close with him for a while. But, obviously he's busy and he's way more important than I am. But I was thinking about, because he came out and he said that his phone was hacked. And, I see it all the time. I see different, I've seen Tito Ortiz say his phone was hacked. And I see people that I follow all the time say their phones. I guess what I'm asking, getting to where I want to get is it a moral and ethical responsibility of these fighters to ensure that their phones and their social media, I know we're getting hacked all over the place. I've been hacked, my bank accounts have been hacked, so I get it. They're in a different spot, right? They're in way more of a public eye, and like this has gone global and viral already. There's pictures of the comments that were made from his Twitter account. And now, I guess what I'm asking is the excuse that my thing has been hacked or whatever, is that a good enough, a viable enough excuse for you or for me? I mean, should I just accept that and move on? Are we in that kind of world, or does he have some responsibility to that?
That's a tough question. I know, let's say Twitter, I love Twitter, but it's not the securest system on the planet.
Right.
I've had issues with that in the past, and there's nothing anybody can do about it except for Twitter. They would have to spend $1 billion and up their security or whatever, man. I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough question. I'll answer you next week.
Okay. Fair enough. I just didn't think that because I accepted it. I accepted it. Oh, his account got hacked. But then I was thinking, yeah, but you should – you have all this money. You have Nike is a sponsor. Nike, whatever it is. His reply was, apparently my phone was hacked, got a new phone. That was it. It was like, just brush it off and move on. And I just am like, are we in a society, are we – where we need to be in the world that's an acceptable answer or acceptable excuse. But we will talk about that next week. Maybe that's something we can open the show with next week, and we'll talk about that. Again, next week we have another MFC guest coming up to MFC 40, right? Yeah, MFC 40, May 9th. Again, MFC gives us the best fighters, gives us the best interviews, are just great to work with, great people. Carl, you're a great person. You're great to work with. Skippy on the other end, Lepaki. I mean, I got to get a list of everybody. And just one of these days, that's all I'm going to do is just say something nice about every single member of MMA Madhouse. So we'll do that one show. That will strictly be one of our shows. For Carl,
it would be.
The man,
it would have to do. It would be an hour-long show in itself.
For sure. But we come from a great product, Carl. I tell you this all the time. You got to pat your back because you and Skippy have really cornered the market, and you guys – again, surround yourself with good people and put on a great product yourself. So big kudos to you. But for Carl, the Madman Mortensen, for the KO Cruiser, for the MFC I am Jason London. This is Full Guard Fight Radio. We will see you next week, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Carl, have a great week, brother. I will catch up with you on the flip side. For Carl Mortensen, Jason London, we will see you next week.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Time to disperse. Party's over.
We got